Hello and good morning. One of the very interesting things in my life, and I hope this is not going to surprise you, is actually this tradition of my Sunday viewpoint talk on this radio station. The main reason is that it incentivizes me to be aware of things happening in this world at a time when, at my age, I would be forgiven for just passing the remaining years of my life playing bridge or any other card game and waiting for what the next day will bring along. While playing bridge can be a good thing for my brain, I choose to exercise my remaining intellectual capability in trying to analyze what is going on around us and maintain an awareness of the news, not only those local news of immediate concern to all of us, but also the wider scope of events going on in other parts of the world. And of course, when I say analyze, I do not mean that I am a professional, but it is enough to have lived as long as I have to make me able to do at least some evaluation of things that happen and that comes across in the media, whether in print, sound, or picture. In so many of these events, I may see some reason to be disappointed and unhappy, but in equal measure, I do come across what gives me so much pride and pleasure. One of these events recently is the annual awards of the Nobel Peace Prize. And the exciting news is that this year, and for the first time in the history of the award, a joint prize for two eminent campaigners for the freedom of press, a woman, Maria Ressa, campaigning in the Philippines, and Dmitry Muratov, who campaigns in Russia. The latter was so magnanimous as to ascribe the prize to himself as just one of the five other campaigners who suffered or are suffering because of their efforts to open up channels of information on the Russian system of governing. I thought this was a brilliant choice, even though there are so many other journalists and bloggers around the world who are engaged in attracting the attention of the free world to atrocities or severe oppressions in some dictatorships. And sadly, those may be in any of the world's continents. While I applaud this new prize for freedom of press and indeed all the other prizes for economics, science, technology, medicine, and literature, among other human achievements of note, I find it difficult to accept some of the awards given in the past. I cannot accept the award given to President Obama only a few months into his first term of the presidency, when his achievements were at best non-existent and at worst of very dubious intentions. The same goes for the prize given a few years ago to the Ethiopian President Abiy Ahmed Ali, under whose authority the current atrocities are inflicted on the rebels of the Tigray province of that country, even though I admit that any rebellion generates conflict and miseries. So here are examples of the good and the bad, even in such a laudable act of recognition for human endeavor of the highest quality. But perhaps a word or two about Nobel himself would be useful, as up to now, all I knew about Nobel was that he was a Swedish and that he bequeathed the wealth he accumulated to be his endowment and legacy for the prize we now know. And this is true, because when he died in 1896, aged 63 years, he had accumulated a wealth of many millions of pounds from his major invention, that of dynamite. In this invention, he realizing the instability of nitroglycerine on its own, experimented with ways of attaching it to some material so as to stabilize it and allow it to explode only when detonated by a trigger of some sort. He also invented gelignite and cordite, all explosives serving different requirements, including smokeless munition for rockets and artillery. But he also made so much money owning the German Bofor industry, producing artillery pieces and other heavy-duty military materiel. The most interesting fact was the trigger for his decision to leave his wealth to posterity. The story is that he was reported dead while still alive. When the news spread, there appeared in so many articles that denounced him as a person who accumulated his wealth from the destruction he inflicted on the world. This apparently riled him so much, and having not married and with no children, he made his decision to prove everyone wrong as he bequeathed the whole wealth as I described. This was estimated to be several million pounds worth, and is still several hundred million pounds worth at present. So now that we know the story of Alfred Nobel, I wish to come back to the awards that the two journalist campaigners of the Philippines and the Russians were given. Honest reporting is, in my and probably everyone's view, an essential for the world we that can absorb and analyze information and exchange views with the benefit of the world foremost in their minds. Jesus Christ was scathing because of the bad rumors the Pharisees spread about him and his mission. But he had no way to counteract such calumnies. Now the world has the means at the fingertips, and we owe it to honest and objective journalists to unveil the hidden crimes in society, whether committed by ordinary people or those in authority. As Abdu'l-Bahá told us, the press will, under such a system, while giving full scope to the expression of the diversified views and convictions of mankind, cease to be mischievously manipulated by vested interests, whether private or public, and will be liberated from the influence of contending governments and peoples. Sadly, there are so many examples of journalists in jail simply because of their courage and commitment to their noble profession. Some are even targeted and killed while pursuing their work. So please join me to give a thought to journalism and honorable journalists, and also the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. Goodbye.